Jesus turns water into wine. The Spirit turns ordinary people into apostles and prophets and preachers and wisdom speakers. And David Wilcox sings a song, a storytelling song, about a young woman afraid of her shadow, beholden to her boyfriend Johnny, who's beholden to his Camaro. Quite out of character, one day she signs up to go on an outward bound trip to Africa. There, she gets sunburned through her hat. She begins to tone some never before used muscles and discovers that she's capable of more than she ever thought possible. One day, separated from the group, she's chased by a hyena, running, afraid. She jumps to catch the lowest branch of a tall tree. When the hyena danger had passed, she drops to lower herself down and then discovers her feet are 4 feet off the ground. She didn't know she could jump that high. Ah, but she does now. And when she returns home, it's so long, Johnny, and your Camaro. Sometimes you don't know you can do something until you do it. And then discover a power within you moving with grace and force you didn't know was there and wouldn't have known were it not from the unknown that you stepped into by faith or by necessity. Faith and necessity met at Cana. I don't know if Jesus knew for sure he could turn water into wine, but he hadn't done it before. I don't know if Jesus knew he could solve a social crisis that beset the wedding hosts, but he hadn't done that before either. He didn't seem to want to get involved, but his mother did. Listen to your mother. Jesus' mother wasn't daunted by the scale of the problem, nor intimidated by the unlikely means to solve it, nor that Jesus said, "My time's not yet come." Yes, it has, son. Your time has come. Jesus then did somehow what grapevines quietly do all year. Jesus, the Lord of sun and soil and grapes and grapevines, also did it in the flash of a crisis and the blink of trouble. It was his first sign that his time had come. Did he know he could do all of that before that day? What have you done that you didn't think was possible? Perhaps not water into wine, but you've done some things. You've faced some crises. You've stepped out beyond what you knew you could do into the unknown. You didn't think you could find the money to get through all 4 years of college, but somehow you scraped through and you made it. You didn't think you could go from a couch to a 5K, but you did it. And you cross the finish line. You didn't think you could possibly repair the marriage in the shape things were in. You didn't think you could go on living another day in the heartbreak of your loss. You didn't think you could beat the addiction, that you could survive the cancer or its chemo. You didn't think you could withstand the criticism or weather the temptations. You didn't think you could find a new life and a new hope and a new place. You didn't think you could forgive the person who hurt you the way they did. But you did. Every example there is from someone in this room. And there are so, so many more. These walls are soaked with the tears of the impossible, and the prayers of Lord, help me, and the quiet gratitude of, I believe, helps still my unbelief. I've been amazed more times than I can count at what people have endured or accomplished by faith and by necessity. Water into wine, that's amazing. But there are times in our lives looking back when it's more like battery acid into wine. How'd you do that? You had some courage, that's for sure. You tried hard, yes. You suffered, no doubt. You paid the price, as the coaches say. And yes, yet still something else, some nudge, some pushing and pulling that took you to places you didn't know you could go. Something deep inside that said, yes, this. Something beyond you was part of it. Courage, for sure. Necessity, sometimes. Inner strength, your Enneagram number, perhaps. How about the Holy Spirit? How about the Spirit of God working in trouble and trial and suffering and the unknown? Why not? Back in high school, I sang in our church's chapel choir, which was our lofty name for our youth group choir, which was a thing churches did back then. And wouldn't it be bad to do again today, I'm just saying. On certain songs, various students had a solo for a line or two, and eventually, by the time I was a senior, the time came for me to have a two-line solo in a song. I guess we'd run through every other student in the group by that time. So when we had those moments, we'd all sing the beginning, and then I'd sing two lines solo, and then we'd go back to the four-part harmony for the rest of it, and I worked on those two lines. And I got pretty good enough anyway. And then we went on tour, a bus tour from Texas to California with stops along the way, and one of the first stops was a church in Albuquerque where we gave a concert on a Sunday evening. Everything was going fine. The choir sounded good. Congregation, bless those people who showed up. They were receptive. And then it came time for my song. The piano started, the song began, and then I realized I have no idea what my words are. I couldn't call them up. They'd vanished, like they were nowhere I could access them. We'd been trained to stand very still, but I started gesturing with my hand to our director some made-up elvish sign language for, I'm in trouble here. He didn't see, or he chose not to see. The song kept on plowing along despite my willing it to stop, or a meteor or something. And then it was time. He hadn't seen I was in trouble. But I don't know how else to account for this. The Spirit saw. The director on cue turned to me up in the third row and pointed. And with nothing else left to do, I inhaled, opened my mouth, and I'm not making this up. In that moment, I had no idea what was going to come out. None. But by the time had come, my time had come, I started singing, and would you believe, I could hardly believe, every word came out, and in correct order, one by one, each a mystery until they were heard. I don't think I knew the next word until it came out, each word like manna, sufficient for the moment. And then my part was over. Thanks be to God. And I think I just fainted right then. I just passed out, just hit the ground. I still don't know how that happened, that thing. Mental muscle memory. Weeks of training which lodged the words into my subconsciousness. Are the synapses of my brain fired at just the right moment? Sure, I'm in for all of that. I'm in for that explanation of performance anxiety. I'm in for neuropsychology and brain chemistry and serotonin. But, and I've thought about that experience many times through the lens of similar experiences I and others have had. It was more. It's the Spirit. And it's not the most dramatic story or the most awful time in the lives we know and we live. But it mattered to me. And it shaped me. I'm not alone. We're not alone. The Spirit of God, this mystery of God's power and presence is active and alive and here. In the Spirit, we can do more than we ever thought we could do on our own strength. And I've experienced that again and again since then. And I've seen it in the faithfulness of fellow Christians who've amazed me with their courage and strength in times of real trouble. St. Paul encourages the Corinthians, you are gifted in a variety of ways, each for the common good. And this is all from the same Spirit. Sometimes we need help in crisis. Sometimes we need a nudge or a push forward beyond our comfort. You have capacity you might not know you have until it's called out of you by God or by the challenge that you face. It's not hard to get swept up in this ministry once you've experienced it. In Ephesians, Paul gets caught up into a prayer right in the middle of a letter just thinking about this. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And then he realized he was only halfway done writing and he had to keep going. He just gotten swept up into this prayer of praise from the experience of being relieved and saved and restored and delivered from a moment of crisis. What activates this power within us? In Ephesians, the apostle speaks of God's riches of glory granted to us who are strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, rooting and grounding us in love and giving us strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and fills us with the faithfulness of God. It's the kind of passage that can change a person. It's amazing what you can do when you don't mind who gets the credit. When you're open even a little to the prompting of the Spirit, Lord, help me. When you're willing to serve the common good in Christ, which is the purpose of all the Spirit does in us and has done in God's people through all the generations. Dr. King, you didn't know you could change a nation until you did. George Handel, did you know you could write the Messiah until the Alleluias poured from your pen over and over? Did Amy Carmichael know she could change the lives of a generation of vulnerable girls in India and preach the gospel to thousands until she did it? Did C.S. Lewis know that he could bring Narnia to life? You'll say, I didn't think I could do it until I did. And then you'll say, but it wasn't me. The Spirit nudged you, pushed you, empowered you. You'll remember a power in you you didn't know you had, a sense of possibility you didn't know possible, a conviction that makes little sense, but you know you must follow this and nothing other. That kind of experience in life will change you, and it becomes one of the many ways that your life says, in the power only the Holy Spirit makes possible, Jesus is Lord. For those experiences in life that challenge and change us, for the faithfulness of God, the salvation of Christ's cross, for the ministry of the Spirit, we give thanks. For all the ways we've experienced life with God, and for all the ways we're experiencing life with God now, and for all we need and all we are becoming, we trust the Lord. We pray to the Lord. Take us as we are and make us all you would have us be. Our lives are yours. And this is the prayer and the step of faith that God uses to transform our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.